You're listening to the Sprues and Brews podcast, your weekly podcast looking at all things Warhammer.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 85 of the Sprues and Brews podcast. My name is Dave, and I'm joined once again by Matt.
Hello.
And Jay.
Hello.
How are you both?
Yeah, very good, thank you. Matt,
surviving lockdown?
Yeah, well, we don't know how much longer we could be in, well, at least a very tight lockdown anyway. It could all change this weekend. Now, we've got quite a bit to get through on this week's podcast. We do have another special guest. So joining us later on in the podcast, we have Paul Murphy, famous for the Forge the Narrative podcast. That was it's a pretty exciting segment to have on our little British podcast, as he talks about what he's up to in the hobby, about the history of Forge the Narrative, and what he thinks of Warhammer 40,000 as it currently is. We've also got our top three favourite limited edition models. This has been inspired by the recent, is it a Colonel?
Yeah, the new Colonel for the Catechin.
Yeah, so that was a little bit of a inspiration there. And we've also got quite a bit of news, Matt reliably informs me.
We do. Well, more news than we've had the last few weeks anyway.
and is good news as well, which is the best kind of news. Before we get stuck into all that content, let's talk about what we've been doing in the hobby for the past 7 days. So starting with you, Matt, what have you been up to?
Well, I finished off my first member of my Sons of Bayamat. He's all based and finished, and yeah, he was really, really fun to paint. So much so that last week on the podcast, I think I just ordered two more Gargants, hadn't I? They arrived midday yesterday, and by the end of the day, they'd been built, gaps filled, sprayed up, and I've started on the flesh tones on them.
You waste no time, Matt.
Time is money, Dave. In between all that, though, I also built three of the awesome Forge World jet bikes for my 30K White Scars. Nice. They are phenomenal kits. I think last week or the week before, I was saying how abysmal those plastic bikes are to build. Well, I can take jet bikes as me compulsory troops in a White Scars army, so I'm tempted to get another box of them because, they are so, so good. And then, for the rest of the week, I've been building a load of Adeptus Titanicus scenery because I'm on a bit of a kick to play that as well after finishing Legio Ignatum.
Yeah,
The scenery kits are so, so good. They're so modular and kind of, you can combine them across the different sets they've put out, which is, really nice.
Yeah, they look very cool. And I think you mentioned, Jay, they'd be really cool for Aeronautica as well.
Yeah, well, I've not read the rules for Aeronautica, but it'd be cool to, like, dogfights around the spires of a hive and things like that would be cool.
Yeah, so Aeronautica takes place in the kind of, like, 3D space above. So there's no crashing, but you could certainly it's the same scale, so you could certainly use it on your game board to add a bit more of a, 3D interactive look, which would be really cool.
I really want to get into Aeronautica. I keep looking at all the different fleets currently available. I think I'm going to have to pick up one of the boxes. Do I wait for the new Imperial craft to come out, or do I go in with the original box? I'm not sure.
Well, the good thing with the original box, I think it's about £50, and you get the full rules, a paper mat, and a orc, and Imperium kind of air fleet, which is really cool.
Yeah. Very cool. Your giants as well, Matt. I think you're going to put a post on the website on how you do the faces and things. But I think you put it on Twitter for now.
That's right. So I had a few people asking how I did the skin tones on them, and they're kind of deceptively easy. So with the two that I got yesterday, I've decided to kind of like take pictures as I'm going along, and then I'm going to compile that all together and put it on the website. And I think when the Mega Gargants come out, I'll probably do a video using the same techniques to get them painted up.
Fantastic. Excellent stuff. Jay, what have you been up to in the hobby?
So this week I had a delivery from Games Workshop. Finally, my paints arrived, so I've been able to get cracking on some of the Blood Angels that I've been waiting to carry on with. So I've made a start on those. I've got those all base coated with the gold, shaded, and then I've finished one model off just so I can see what they look like. I couldn't wait to finish one just to see what my conversion looked like. I've still got the wings to finish on them, but I'm really, really impressed with them. They've turned out really cool. So I think I need another 5 of them. So I've got a squad of 10, and I'll be using them as Dawnbreakers in 30K and Sanguinary Guard in 40K.
Nice.
I've also this week... almost finished the Dark Angels Inner Circle Knights, the 30K Terminator models. Mm-hmm. So these were really, really nice models to paint, but quite difficult to paint. I actually painted them back to front. So I did all of the little details like the keys and the scrolls and the armor plates. I did all that first and then finally finished up with the black armor afterwards. So I think I've got just a few gray highlights to do on 3 of the models and then finish the bases off. So my plan before this bank holiday weekend is over was to get the 5 Dark Angel Terminators done and my 5 Sanguinary Guard, and I'm on track to do that.
Nice.
I'm just waiting for the Games Workshop and Forge World shops to open up properly so I can order some bits for my next conversion. So I'm thinking of converting a Blood Angels Praetor and the Sanguinar for 40k based on Asgalion, the Blood Angels Sanguinary Guard captain.
Nice.
Just need a few bits for that.
You may have mentioned a few times that you're really looking forward to the Forge World shop opening. I think it's every few hours you just, you know, like, oh, when's the Forge World going to start shipping again? Soon, hopefully, Jay, soon we'll be able to get some resin goodness. Your Dark Angels are looking awesome. I really like the pictures you've been showing us. Have we got them on the Twitter, Matt? I don't think we have yet, have we?
I don't believe we have, yeah. So, if you we'll get those up.
Yeah.
Awesome. Fantastic. Well, you guys have probably done a bit more painting than I have, I think. I don't seem to have done a massive amount this week. I have finished my Primaris Librarian, my Imperial Fist Librarian. He was ace. I love that model. He's like one of my favourite models from the Primaris range, and he was one of the first to come out as well. So he's finished, just needs to finish his base. And I've been working on 5 intercessors who just need the chest plates finishing and some of the smaller details in the bases. But I have really enjoyed painting these Imperial Fists. I've been watching loads of YouTube videos. I've been writing lists. Oh, man, I can't wait. The race. And I think it could finally be Dave's most competitive army.
Ooh, that's fighting talk.
Yeah. So, that's it. But like you guys, it hasn't arrived yet, but I've got a supply drop incoming of new paints so I can carry on with my Adeptus Mechanicus. Hopefully they'll be here Monday, Tuesday, I'd have thought, so I can get busy back on some Ad Mech, some Dune Crawlers to paint.
Excellent.
So, yeah. That brings us to the end of this opening section of the podcast. Don't forget, we do have Paul Murphy from Forge Narrative on very shortly on this very podcast. But first of all, we're going to take a pause for the news. And so on to this week's news. Matt, what have we got?
We've got some pretty good news this week. So last week on the show, the UK and European Games Workshop websites reopened. Today, US and rest of the world opened up, which is really cool. So I believe most regions can now order Games Workshop goodies.
Yay.
Light at the end of the tunnel. Now, on the post today, they mentioned that the next step is opening the Forge World and Black Library stores, though they may take a little time.
So today's discussed.
Aww. Yeah. So interestingly, you can now, for the last few days, there's been a holding page on the Forge World website where you can now go into it and see all the products again. So whether that's an indication of things maybe slowly happening, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe they were adding the queuing system to Forge World, so that's why we had a holding page as they were tweaking, potentially.
Could be. So yeah, I'm excited to get an order in. Because there's lots of projects I want to do now. Speaking of which, UK orders are now arriving. So, if you've placed an order over the last week, they should be turning up imminently. Mm-hmm. There's no word on the factory yet. However, like Dave alluded to earlier in the show, that may well depend on the forthcoming government advice on Sunday night. Mm-hmm. Because there's whispers of some loosening of the restrictions here, which could well lead to GW being able to open the factory again, which would mean new toys on the way potentially.
Yay!
Cubicle 7 have had a busy old week. So first of all, they've got a Death Watch Humble bundle over on the Humble store. So we've mentioned these a few times on the podcast before. Essentially, you can pay what you want to get a big bundle of various goodies. And this time it's based on the Death Watch role-playing game, where you play a member of the Death Watch and do heroic Death Watch things. So the big bundle with all 18 books is a bargain at £14.50. You know, nice. You wouldn't buy one of these books for £14.50.
No, definitely not.
There are tiers going from £1, and you can choose where the money goes, including to charity, which is really nice.
Yeah.
The big news from Cubicle 7 this week, though, is the pre-order of the highly anticipated Age of Sigmar Soulbound. That's the new Age of Sigmar role-playing game. And yeah, it's gone live for pre-orders today. The website crashed for about 3 hours. The game is currently number one on DriveThruRPG. So I think it's safe to say that people have been looking forward to this game coming out. So yeah, so the game has been super, super popular and highly anticipated. We've spoke to the developers a few times now, and it's been interesting watching it all come together, which is really fun. They've got quite a few things up for pre-order on the website. So for £28.79, you can get the PDF right now, which is cool. If you order the standard hardback book for £44.99, which comes out Q4 2020, you actually get a copy of the PDF free. So they'll send that out to you as soon as you check out. Likewise, they've got the super shiny collector's edition. So this has got a leather style cover, gilt edging on the book, gold detailing on it, and it all comes in a big magnetic kind of clip case. That is £99.99. And likewise, you get a free PDF with it when you check out,
nice.
Which is really cool. They've also got a Games Master screen. This is £22.99, and it includes details of all the main cities in Akshi, which is what the realm that they're focusing on with this initial release. Mm-hmm. And it includes 25 different adventure hooks to get your adventure started, which is really cool. And then they've got some other goodies. They've got some dice trays at £11.99, and they've got a map of the Great Parch for £15.99. Now, this map is a massive thing. It's A1. It's a big old piece of paper, that. And it details all the locations within the Great Parch, all the cities, and it looks absolutely gorgeous. I think it'd look great on any kind of like hobby room wall.
Nice.
So yeah, maps and stuff are always really nice from the hobby side of things. And yeah, it looks like Cubicle 7 are pulling out all the stops on this release.
The Great Parch, what realm side?
It is in Akshi, the Realm of Fire.
Akshi, of course, right.
So yeah, so in the initial book, obviously you can set your gamers in whatever realm you like, but in the initial book they've got details of Akshi, and then I think in future supplements they're going to be looking into other realms. But it looks like there's been a lot of involvement with the Games Workshop writers to make sure we've got lots of lore in there. We've had a quick look through it today on my lunch break. And there's a few snippets of lore. The Mega Gargants are mentioned. Tyrion and Teclis are mentioned. Yeah, I think there's going to be some interesting stuff for Age of Sigmar fans in there.
It sounds like a book that you would just pick up if you're into Age of Sigmar, regardless of whether you're actually going to sit down and play the RPG or not.
Yeah, exactly. And £44 for the book? You're going to get the hardback book in December and you get the PDF now. I don't think that's a bad price at all, really. So yeah, we've also got some video game news. Now, hidden away on Frontier Developments, I think it was their financial kind of statements, wasn't it? They have signed a deal with Games Workshop for an Age of Sigmar RTS for PC and console. So yeah. This is really, really exciting. So Frontier, if you've not heard of them, they have done the Elite Dangerous game, they've done Planet Coaster, they've done Jurassic World. Awesome studio, and yeah, I think it's definitely in safe hands for a Warhammer themed game there.
They know what they're doing with strategy games, which is really important.
Oh, definitely. And it's interesting that it's going to be console and PC.
and streaming devices, which I forgot to put on the post.
Okay,
there are a couple of those knocking around as well. So yeah, it's going to be available on everything. I think if you look at Jurassic World Evolution, which I think is the only Frontier game. Oh, yeah, maybe the only Frontier game they've done on console, where they kind of streamlined a point and click down a little bit, but it still is a really fun game to play. So yeah, I'm super excited. I think you mentioned, Jay, if it's anything like 40K Dawn of War, we're in for a treat.
Yeah, well, I mean, I remember the original Dawn of War game. I mean, most of the Dawn of War games, apart from number three, are good, but the first one was just amazing. You know, the first time you could see all of like your animated soldiers running around the battlefield blasting each other. It's going to be so cool. Yeah, I hope it has that same sort of impression as the first Dawn of War.
Yeah, I'm excited for this one, though. Don't get too excited, because we'll probably be playing this when we're playing the old world tabletop game, because it's due out in 2023.
Oh, right, okay.
I think they'd literally just signed the deal with Games Workshop, and obviously, you know, you declare these kind of things on your financial statements, and it's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
So yeah, and then today we've had a bit more video game news with a new expansion for Total War 2, The Warden and the Paunch. Jay, do you want to tell us a little bit about this?
Yeah, so this was breaking news before we came onto the podcast. There's the Total War series. Fans of Warhammer will know there's a Warhammer version, Total War Warhammer 2. And there's quite a lot of DLC and little legendary lord packs, they're called, where they add new content to the game. And on the 21st of May, you'll be able to pick up this new version, the Warden and the Paunch, which pits the Eldari and the Grim for the High Elves against Grom the Paunch for the Greenskins. And I believe that it's not just these characters that have been added to the game. There's a few different units as well. So we saw in the trailer some White Lion Chariots, Alfarian's Griffin, Stormwing. There was Rogue Idol, Dave. I know you'd like that.
Oh, yeah.
Snotling Pump Wagons. That's the most important unit added.
Oh, cool, I forgot about those Snotling Pump Wagons. Yeah, with the little wings as well. It looks like that. That's what they keep running, flying around, hopping around. I mean, the Warhammer Total War games are really, really good fun. So, especially if you're still in love with the old world and rank and file battles. I don't think it's that much on Steam. I think it's about £6.20 if you pre-order it now. It comes out on May 21st. So, want to check out if you're into
Steam
Warhammer
right now. £6.29. You get 10% off if you get it before release. So, that's good to know.
Very cool. Yeah, quite a bit of video game news there, which is always good.
Yeah, definitely. It's good to have stuff coming out, even if we haven't necessarily got stuff coming out from Games Workshop at the minute.
No, that's very true. They tease me this week by putting out previews of Engine War, even though we can't pre-order it yet. But it's like scratch the itch a little bit.
You do not know the meaning of the word tease, Dave. I have been looking at images of Lumineth Realm Lords for the last, 7 years or something?
See, what does make me think we might see some news from Games Workshop soon, though, is these are the kind of posts that you tend to get in the week before pre-order. So even though they said last Sunday that there's not anything for pre-order this Sunday, it doesn't necessarily mean that there's not going to be the following Sunday. Obviously, it depends on what happens in the UK, but fingers crossed, we might start to see a slow release of releases.
Yes, awesome. Look forward to it. Does that wrap us up for the news this week, Matt?
Does indeed.
Well, I think it's time we invite a guest onto the podcast, so keep listening. Okay, so for this week's main segment, we're actually going to change the narrative a little bit, as we have our very first international guest on the podcast. Welcome, Paul.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
So for those who maybe haven't heard your voice before, how about you tell us who you are?
My name is Paul Murphy. I'm the host of Forge the Narrative. We're kind of named that way slightly ironically. We focus a little bit more on the competitive. Competitive is a strong word, but list building. We also work in the lore. Like, there's all kind of stuff we do talk about over there. So if you are familiar with us, please check us out. We got a weekly podcast.
Fantastic. So how long has Forge the Narrative been going? Because I seem to think that I'm on sort of episode 300 and something.
Yeah, we just released episode 331, going on about 7 years. Yeah, actually a little bit over 7 years at this point.
Wow.
Impressive.
That is very cool. We're actually looking forward to our episode 100, which is not too far away now.
Yeah,
that's still a feat. I mean, a lot of podcasts don't get that far. I mean, as you guys know, there's a lot that goes into it, and you know, people decide it's not for them. But you guys are doing great work.
Thank you very much. So what is currently, obviously, you guys are in lockdown as well over in the US. Have you been finding time to get some more hobby in?
Yeah, I've actually been using the extra time to get like my hobby area organized. I've done some building. I've done painting on things that, you know, because I kind of compete in tournaments and stuff. And so a lot of my hobby time gets wrapped up into building for those events, like either what I think is going to beat the meta or be the meta or whatever. But now, since there is no meta because we're not really playing, I've taken this as an opportunity to build some things that are more just straight hobby projects, like things for alternate games like Necromunda, or been working back on my orcs again. So yeah, just stuff like that. Been taking advantage of the time and happy to get it.
Getting some actually narrative stuff in then.
a buddy of mine refers to the Horus Heresy and Sigmar as narrative games. You know, we'll see what I can do with that kind of stuff.
we've as a group, us three, we've been really into Sigmar sort of, well, since 2.0 landed, really. But so would you say you much more favor sort of 40K out of all the game systems?
I do. Yeah, I think 40K is kind of like the main thing I'd focus on. But I play all the rest of them too. Like I really enjoy the skirmish level games, kill team, playing a lot of kill team with some old friends that have used that as a good way of getting back into the hobby. And you know, it goes all the way back to things like Blood Bowl. You know, can't get enough of that stuff.
You can't beat Blood Bowl.
It's just the best.
What are your thoughts on the new Blood Bowl team?
I haven't played with them, but you know, they do look cool, and I think it kind of gives a lot of, I don't know, nostalgia back to those old Snotlings. Is that the one you're talking about, the Snotlings?
Yeah, the Snotlings, yeah.
I don't think anyone's going to win any games with Snotlings, but they'll look cool on the table.
You never know, right? I mean, seems like a lot of them are built to kind of, I don't know, just appear on the table once.
Yeah, briefly.
And then go back to
don't get attached to any of your plays.
Yeah, but I think they'll probably take a lot of opponents, players with them, and you know, sometimes that's fun.
Well, Matt's our resident sort of picking the hardest team to Blood Bowl. Is he's got a halfling team, so I think he's really looking forward to playing an even harder team at Blood Bowl. Because you're glutton for punishment, Matt.
Yeah, what was I play goblins? I play halflings. Yeah, you go for the stunties. They're more fun. Everyone wins for the underdog, right?
Yeah, when you actually do win, it's even sweeter.
Well, not even win, just score a touchdown. That's, you know, that's me. That's my goal for the game.
Last the first half.
Yeah.
Nice.
Do you get to many tournaments over in the US? Because obviously, us being over here in the UK and sort of the home of Warhammer and being within driving distance of sort of Warhammer World and things. What is the hobby like over in the US? Are there plenty of tournaments? Do you get plenty of chance to play?
Yeah, there are. I mean, of course, we have great local scenes and lots of people that enjoy playing in all different levels. You know, I got people who just like to roll dice. I got people that build up, you know, real narrative lists. Like they're really, they want to make something happen, or they want to use certain characters that just play to them. You got those folks. We got all types. Yes. And we are spread out over here, but there's a lot of people. I mean, we're talking about the hundreds of people that travel to these things quite frequently, even across the country. So you see people. That's one of the things that actually has kept me in the hobby for as long as I have been, is meeting and seeing these, you know, groups of people 3-4 times a year at different places of the country, all enjoying this thing that we like.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I'm guessing you've been to some of the sort of the major events like Adepticon and things like that.
Yeah, real sad to miss it this year, you know, with everything we have going on, but it's very understandable. But I do, those are can't miss destination events as far as I'm concerned.
It's kind of our equivalent of what is now Warhammer Fest, which should have actually been last weekend, but unfortunately due to the current circumstances has been cancelled for this year. Sorry, Matt, yeah. Were you going to say something?
Yeah, I was saying that's something kind of we're missing in the UK, the kind of massive convention / tournaments you guys have over in the States.
I mean, they are events. This Adepticon is probably the closest thing do we have to a full-on convention in the miniature gaming hobby. Now, I say that I haven't been to, you know, I hear Salute is huge over there. I mean, again, I'm just going off of what people tell me, but what I think of as a convention is a whole host of different things that aren't just Warhammer or just one thing or the other. And Adepticon brings that to the table. Huge. Please, you know, we have several contenders that are right in that next thing. Of course, other gaming conventions. In addition to the Warhammer stuff, I actually go to some gaming conventions and stuff too. So kind of like a giant nerd, unashamedly. but it is. They're fun. And when you see thousands of people there, you know, everywhere you look, there's some kind of miniature gaming going on. You know, it's worth a trip if you can make it.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think it's on the hobby bucket list is to make it over to one of the big US events, maybe Adepticon. At one point in the future, that would be awesome. Have you managed to make it over to the UK and pop over to Warhammer World?
I have. I've been a couple times, and you know, you always have to go through the exhibit hall. I love hanging out in Bugman's. I love being there in the gaming hall, you know, that looks like a castle, you know, so you get to see people doing their thing. Yeah. Yeah, I have. I really enjoy it.
I mean, we probably end up going, I don't know, once every few months. And even then, we find ourselves oogling stuff in the exhibition hall, even though, you know, we've probably seen most of it several times. You just can't help yourself, really.
20 minutes trying to find the assassin.
Yeah, it's always an expensive trip to Warhammer World, isn't it? You go around the exhibition and you want to start a new army by the time you get out of there.
You're not wrong. I mean, and seeing some of those classics from the White Dwarfs, you know, you get to see them, you know, within a foot's distance and just really appreciate all the detail, especially the ones that went in. Like one of the things really stands out to me, and you know, looking at pictures online and in Warhammer World, is some of the detail out of those old miniatures that some of the painters have gotten out. You know, it's just impossible. It's like an impossibility for me, but seeing it firsthand is really awesome.
It's something weird about seeing like really old stuff, like the Mike McVeigh Horus versus the Emperor with Sanguinius dead on the floor. I mean, that was
don't remind me of Sanguinius.
Years ago.
they point this out to me every time we go in. Yeah, but I have a new version of Sanguinius on my desk, alive and kicking.
Heck yeah! Is that the character series Horus Heresy model?
Forge, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Stunning model.
It is. I used some of my lockdown time to get that model painted off. I've had it in the box unbuilt since it's been released, and then I thought, no, now's the time to get some paint on him.
I've got mine still in the box because I'm really anxious about painting like his facial features and stuff. I just, you know, but it's, I'm gonna get there. It's like as soon as I hit the next threshold in painting, that's what I'm tackling.
Cool. That sounds good. Yeah. It's a good experience painting them.
Yeah.
So you're obviously quite a keen tournament player, Paul. How have you sort of got on at tournaments? You know, have you won many? What was the last tournament army you took?
So the last one I was able to play in, I've transitioned more into the commentary side of things. You know, okay. Not that I've aged out, but I was really fortunate enough to join a team where we did some commentary from the LVO, and you know, these people could check that out if you're interested in seeing how some of these major events do function over here from a tournament perspective. But the last tournament, I mean, I'm almost sad to say that the last tournament that I played in competitively, I took Iron Hands towards the end of last year.
Well, you know, if you're a keen tournament pro, you know, like you've mentioned, you've kind of got to look at the meta and see what's hot at that time. And I mean, I believe Iron Hands are still pretty solid, even with the recent changes to the FAQ.
Oh, definitely are. They aren't quite as oppressive as they were. And yeah, I mean, seriously, when you're going to compete, if you're looking for one of the top spots at a tournament, you really only have two choices. You've got to be the meta or beat the meta.
Well, I can't really comment on tournaments because the only thing I've won at a tournament is a wooden spoon. So,
well, it's fun, right? I mean, yeah, I mean, I have, you know, won majors and stuff in the past. And I think the highest I've placed recently is in the second, third range. I haven't taken the top spot, but I'd like to think I can still get in there and do it. And, you know, we'll continue to swing for the fences as long as I'm able. But I also really love talking about the game.
Yeah.
And examining and bringing some of that information out to people that can't be there.
Yeah. Yeah, no, awesome. Definitely. No, I'm very proud of my achievement. It's still a prize. That's what I tell myself. So, there you go. Sorry, Matt.
Dave is the kind of person who'll look at a unit and will go, no, the other build's much better rules wise, and they'll go, but I like the look of that one. I'll build it anyway.
Hey, look, there's plenty of, you know, we used to joke that like Last Cannon Centurions were so terrible. But I mean, now you can make a case for him. But for a while, you know, there was just no reason not to have anything but a grav amp. But yeah, you still saw, you know, alternate builds out there. But hey, I mean, you know, this is one of the concepts we cover on my show a lot, is that they are your models, and you're going to spend so much more time with the models other than playing them for most of us. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to spend time building them and painting them and thinking about them, dreaming about them, you know. You might as well get it, do exactly what you want. So I'm with it, right there with you on that side of it.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, I mean, I'm quite lucky because I'm building an Adeptus Mechanicus army at the moment, and one of the hardest units currently, I believe, are the Castellan robots, and it just so happens that I really like the look of them as well. So I might actually have a pretty competitive army after lockdown. I might be able to actually challenge some of the sort of top tables, hopefully.
That's great when it works out. Yeah.
See, the only thing that lets Dave down is shocking dice rolling.
Apparently I can't even beat my wife, who's never played Warhammer before, fans of the podcast now. So
fight, never can't mind. Fight fate, you know, that's just start a support group for people that roll ones and then command point them into other ones.
That is Dave. Yeah, that is Dave. So what how do you think 40k is as a game at the minute? Now obviously there's been rumors of another edition of the game on the horizon, and we've, you know, got a lot of books, you know, some armies are carrying around a small library with them. Where do you think the game is right now?
That seems to be what happens now, is that we just accumulate rules as we move forward, and then in order to get picky and choosy over all those rules, we kind of have to carry this stuff with us. But thankfully, like electronic copies and stuff have become a lot more frequent, so we can just pass a tablet to our buddies instead of, here, well, you need to reference these three novels. But as far as the gameplay goes, I think it is good. I think that there's some element of skill involved, familiarity involved with things like just knowing your stratagems and knowing if there was a errata to that stratagem and stuff, which is a tad bit clunky. But I think that's kind of the nature of the beast as we strive for a more perfect game. Mm-hmm. And I think that we benefit from this being one of the more heavily documented games and rule sets that we've ever had, which means, you know, look, I'm a kind of a firm believer that there are no perfect games of 40K.
No.
But we're really close to that if you so choose to play that way. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so I like it. I think that there are some concepts in this edition that are incredibly strong and make for some really good tactical play. Yeah. And that's fun to watch and play out in a game of Warhammer. So this is as exciting as it's ever been to watch the game, which, you know, goes back to what I was talking about with commentary. And you can play it at a really competitive level, a precise level, if that's what you choose to do.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm a fan of how much the sort of putting out FAQs and tweaking things. I know it does build to having more paperwork and checking to make sure a stratagem hasn't changed. But it just keeps the game balanced as best as it can. And yeah, it is a bit frustrating, but I do like the fact that they're constantly tweaking and trying to make the game fairer and more fun, I think.
In any competitive game where a lot of people are playing, a lot of people care about it, that happens in every other single game. I mean, you got to think of online games, where they're, you know, various factions, you know, they get tweaked a bit. Card games like Magic get tweaked all the time through various mechanisms. I mean, where they ban cards, you know, we're not banning units. As a community, things just get changed a little bit to make it a smoother experience for everybody involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, 100% agree. I'm really looking forward to I think if we are going to get a new edition this year, I mean, you've mentioned it quite a few times before, Matt. I don't think we're going to see any radical changes. We've sort of spoken, maybe we'll see some hints of what's done well in Age of Sigmar 2.0. Maybe we'll see some elements of that. I'm not talking the random turns or anything that drastic, but we might see, I don't know, an endless... not endless spells, but something very similar with psychic powers, which is actually what we sort of discussed prior to Psychic Awakening, if that was what Psychic Awakening was going to be, was some manifestation of psychic powers on the battlefield. It turns out that wasn't the case, but, you know, maybe we'll see something like that in the future. Obviously, you're the host of Forge the Narrative. How would somebody go about going to listen to that podcast?
You can find it anywhere podcasts are aggregated. You can also find the feed off of forgethenarrative.net. But any of the major aggregators, iTunes, Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, you can find it. We're also on Facebook. And if you choose to listen to things on YouTube, I publish the show out to YouTube as well on the Forge the Narrative YouTube page.
Fantastic. Well, we're going to take a pause at this moment, and Paul is going to be back later on in the podcast with his top three, and also we have a very important question to ask him at the end of the show as well. But for now, we're going to take a pause, and I'm going to come back with our top three. And so on to this week's top three. We're inspired by the recent Catagen kernel model, which is going to independent retailers as a thank you during these difficult times from Games Workshop. We thought we'd pick out our top three limited edition models. Maybe we had a chance to pick them up. Maybe the models that we missed out on and we really wish we'd purchased when we had the chance. So, Matt, do you want to start us off with your third choice?
Yes, my third choice. This was a GameStay exclusive model way back, I believe, and is the Deathcore Kree Commissar on horse.
Oh yeah, I remember him.
Was this a metal model then, or a resin?
No,
model?
Resin one. Oh, right, it's a resin one. Yeah, from Forge World Limited. They tended to have some Forge. Well, back in the day, they used to have a Forge World Limited edition model every year, and I don't think they've done one for the last couple of years, have they? But previously they had a different one each year, and that year was the Death Corps Commissar and Horse. Really, really nice. Matches the styling to the Death Riders. And Commissar kind of works quite well with the Death Corps because, you know, they're quite sinister anyway, aren't they? Mm-hmm. So, the one of mine painted up actually featured on Warhammer TV the other day as well on the Hobby Roundup.
Oh, nice.
Check out Thursday's Hobby Roundup. I wasn't expecting it. They showed off me Deathcore, which was cool. So, if you want to get hold of it now, it probably goes for silly money on eBay, but I'd never get rid of it because it's a really nice model.
Yeah, definitely. My third choice is a very recent limited run model. Now, it was a bit easier to get hold of than some other limited editions, but I don't think you can get her now. She's actually here on my desk, and that is Larissa Shadowstalker, the Night Questor for the Stormcast Eternals.
Nice.
So I think, personally, she's a bit of a hint towards a new chapter, but she's very much like a monster-hunting gladiator kind of figure with a long pole arm. She's got a left hand out reach with, like... I don't know what she's got in her hand, actually. some kind of trinket of some sort. But I think it was an anniversary model. So if your local store had their birthday, then you could pick her up. I actually got mine from Warhammer World. I think they had a limited number of them at one of the open days that we went to. I think I may have gone with you, Matt.
Yeah, it was actually Warhammer World's birthday that same day.
Oh, yeah. There you go. That makes sense. So, yeah, she's a really nice model. I'm painting mine up as a Celestial Vindicator. But weirdly, she comes with a War Scroll in the box, but has no points value. So you can play her in Sigmar, but she doesn't have a points cost. So never mind. not for competitive gaming. Jay, what is your fair choice?
My fair choice, I'm also going to go back to Games Day. Back to Games Day 2008. And it was a Space Marine captain. And this was a Space Marine captain who he's sort of charging forwards, and he has a big two-handed Thunder Hammer metal model. I remember I converted mine into a Salamander's captain for some strange reason with a big two-handed sword. But this was a really, really cool model. Nice. The Space Marine captain, sort of like lunging forward with this big two-handed hammer. I think at the time there wasn't any two-handed Thunder Hammers. I think, do you know the Death Watch Great Thunder Hammer?
Yes.
It looks a bit like that, so it's quite a cool model.
Yeah. I think Games Day, they always had some sort of Space Marine model, didn't they? Did they ever do anything that wasn't a Space Marine as like a Games Day model?
They did a Chaos Sorcerer once, didn't they, for Warhammer Fantasy?
Oh, did they?
Fantasy, they've had a lot of... Yeah, they've had orcs, they've had all sorts. They had the Empire guy with the skull of a slan.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you may as well go on to my second choice now, Dave, because it was just that model, Matt.
Okay, yeah, that works.
Marco Colombo. Yeah, the Empire explorer who discovered Lustria. And in his hand is a crystal skull of a slan. It's a really, really cool model. It's one of those models it's almost like we planned it, which we didn't. but these models I always love because they always sort of explore the background of Warhammer a little bit further. It's like a special piece where it just plays around with the setting. And there's lots of cool little, you know, like the history of Lustria being discovered and lots of cool little trinkets and things about the model itself. It's a really, really cool model.
Yeah, I believe that was the last sculpt by, what was his name, Juan Diaz, who did the Demonettes. I think that's the last model that he did for Games Workshop.
Oh, right. Yeah, he did the Demonettes. He also did my favourite Dwarf Lord, who's just sort of standing there leaning on his axe.
Yes. So, yeah, a bit of a nice model, that. Cool. Well, my second choice is another Forge World limited edition one, and I believe this was the year after the Commissar. And that is the Renegade Ogryn holding a poor Kriegsman in the air.
The Krieg theme.
Krieg theme, yeah. Because they had some nice models. It's just a shame that a lot of the models were limited edition. And if you missed them, you kind of knackered. But yeah, this it didn't have any rules. You could just use it as a Renegade Ogryn. But really nice. Almost like a little diorama with him strangling this poor guardsman that he's pulled off the ground. I mean, he's Krieg. He's not bothered. He's ready to die for the Emperor. And he'll probably try and take the Ogryn in a fight. Even it'll go really, really badly for him. But yeah, I just think it's a nice kind of thematic model. And I haven't finished painting mine. I've had it, I don't know, 10 years now, something like that. I really should get some paint on it.
Yeah, especially with all the Krieg stuff you've got.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Awesome. My second choice is a model that came out in 2004. And I think I may have mentioned this model before on previous Top Threes, but it's Inquisitor Gideon Law. He was a limited run Inquisitor. I think he was only available for one weekend, and he came out the same weekend as the limited edition High Elf model, which I forgot to Google the name of. But he was a really cool model as well. He had like a sword and shield. He was like a high elf prince. You might remember the name Jake. I think he became.
I know he didn't. He have the. It was an axe and a shield, wasn't he? Had
it was a sword and a shield.
No, you're right. Yeah, the sword. Wasn't he the on foot version of one of the box set models? I think
could have been. Yes.
Yeah, I know which guy you mean.
Yeah, but no, my second choice is Gideon Law. I'm always a big fan of the Inquisition anyway, and there's never been that many Inquisition models until more recently. But yeah, I just loved everything about this model, his pose, his gear, his hat. He's wearing an awesome hat. That's always a good selling point when it comes to limited edition models. And I'm sure I still have this guy somewhere. And I think the second we finish recording, I'm going to find him and I'm going to paint him. By this time next week, if I can find him, he's going to be painted, I've decided. So yeah, Gideon Law is my second choice. Who wants to go with their top choice? Because you just all confused me with your little... let's go to you, Jay. What's your top choice?
My top choice is the Eldar Bonesinger.
Ah, yeah.
So this is a really unusual model. So Bonesingers have always been part of the Eldar background. These are the crafters, the shapers. They sort of sing all of the Eldar's wraith bone into structures and vehicles and wraith constructs and things like that. But it's always been in the background. It's never had, not as far as I can recall, had a model in any of the editions of the game or any of the Eldar army books, until this limited edition Bonesinger was released. And it's sort of standing on like a growth of wraith bone, leaning forward, sort of like magically growing the wraith bone out of the ground underneath him. And talking of helmets, Dave, the hats, the guy's sporting quite a cool hat with the usual Eldar sort of crests across the side of his helmet. But yeah, unusually with this one, it came with rules. And it is in the current Eldar Codex. You can take it as an elite choice, which is strange for a limited edition model.
Yeah, it is. You normally stay away from models that you can't actually buy.
Yeah.
I think they bought it back, didn't they? Made to order when the latest Eldar Codex came out.
It did, yes, with all of the old Farseers and Warlocks. Yeah, I may have picked up another one. I've got two of them upstairs.
Awesome. Your top choice, Matt.
So there could only be one model for my top choice, and it's got to be Dylan, hasn't it, from Predator? the brand new super hard to get hold of Catachin Colonel. He's a dude. It's just Carl Weathers. Yeah, enough said.
It is.
I know a lot of websites have been doing kind of charity raffles and stuff for them, which is nice to see. A few of them have ended up on eBay for crazy money. So yeah, if you do get hold of one, you're a very lucky person, because it's a gorgeous, gorgeous model.
I so hope that, I don't know, a year, 2 years time, we get to see this model again, more readily available. That's what I'm holding out hope for.
Yeah, hopefully, because it's one of the best models they've done for the Catachins.
Mm-hmm. My top choice is a model that I owned briefly before I gave him away, and somebody gave him a really, really good paint job, and I think then sold him some years later, and that is Grumlock and Gazbag. Now, this is an orc and a goblin from Warhammer Fantasy. Jay remembers now. The only way to get him was in the Warhammer Online Special Edition, which I think I'd managed to pick up quite cheap. And I didn't really have an interest in orcs and goblins at the time, so I think you had an army of them, Jay.
Yeah.
So I just gave him to you. Now I wish I still had him to lead my Uruk War Clans, but never mind. He's a really cool model with a little goblin sat on his shoulder. Give him a Google. He's a cracking model. Proper old school orcs and goblins.
Yeah, old school black orc, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
Before we started podcasting, I was looking at some pictures of him, and there's some really nice paint jobs that people have done on this model. And if I remember right, Jay, yours was painted really nice as well.
I remember painting that guy. Yeah, he was cool with the dags on him and the checkers. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, he's my top choice, Grumlock and Gazbag. So that brings us to the end of our top three, but we are going to take a slight pause and come back with Paul's top three. Okay, so we have got Paul on this week's podcast, and we're going to ask him as well. What are your top three limited edition models, Paul, starting with your third choice?
Third choice? I think I'm going to go with the Sister of Battle model with the bolter off of the side standing on the dais. I like that one, and I don't know if the one that they previewed in I think Warhammer preview number 2 that they've done recently online.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it was up for pre-order last week.
This like the sergeant figure. I like them. Well, I mean they're great looking figures, of course, but also really captures the art. Like they're one of some of the figures that really bring that 40K Codex art to life. And you know, while we do have some miniatures that remind us of that, these are almost like directly off the page, and I think it's really cool.
Yeah, we were saying last week as well how we hope that they continue that and bring out some more like notable pieces of artwork as in model form. It'd be really cool.
Yeah, I don't want to say that this all the Sisters of Battle that they're tied for number 3, but those three limited models that they've released for them over the last couple of years are, you know, again just right off the art. I think that's amazing. Yeah.
Excellent. Your second choice?
That's the Skulls. I think it was the Chaplain that was a store opening miniature, I think. The Terminator Chaplain that has the skulls going down its chest.
Yeah.
In the Terminator armor.
Yes. Bolter, Crozius, big, just very intimidating skulls leading all over the model. I think that's one of the best.
It's really cool. You know what's really frustrating about those models as well? They're so hard to get hold of as well.
Yeah, and with with Grey Knights getting an update recently, you know, Terminator Chaplains are, I guess, really good models now. So why not try to get a cool looking one?
I was going to say that this model is made for Grey Knights armies.
Yeah.
Great Grey Knights are, well, they were up and coming in the meta, weren't they, I believe?
They still are. I mean, I don't know if they're like a gatekeeper list yet. I mean, again, these are things that we haven't been able to see really play out because of, you know, we've had fewer opportunities to do it recently. But I think that they are a real mid-range control threat in the game, like mid-board control, middle-of-the-board type stuff. And I think that's going to see what we emerge as one of the best formats for if you're going to be playing to win.
Fantastic. And that leads us to your top choice.
Oh, well, I think his name is Sergeant Centurius from the Legion of the Damned.
Ooh.
This is a model. I think this is also one of the ones based off the art. It's been so long, and my memory might be slightly clouded, but it's a Legion of the Damned character model. Sergeant, I guess, obviously his name's Sergeant Centurius. I think it's Sergeant Centurius. And he's holding aloft a skull in his hand. Got a chainsword in his skull.
I've just found an image of him because I could not visualize him, but yes, yeah, he is cool.
I think he's a fan favorite as well, actually. I'm not sure if a few weeks ago we had a fan send in saying that was their favorite model as well.
Yeah, and I know we've got a lot of, you know, limited models to choose from, either limited release or come out in only certain regions and stuff like that, but those are always ones that I look when people ask me that I'm instantly drawn to those two, especially the top two. They've been out for a while and recently come to appreciate these sisters models.
Looking at him, he's just so classic Warhammer 40K. He really is.
Like, why does he have a skull in his hand? No one knows.
obviously trying to do his best Hamlet impression or something.
Yeah.
Clearly. So thank you very much for your top three, Paul.
Yeah, thank you for asking. I think these are always nice to take a trip down memory lane with these models.
And so we come to the community top three picks for this week. I'm going to start us off over on Instagram. Orton_91, their third choice is the Store Anniversary Night Quest Store. I completely agree. It was my third choice as well. An amazing alternative to the original. Their second choice is the Games Day 2011 Skaven Warlord. Gives a Clan Sky Warlord. don't know what, if he's missed a word there or something. But yeah, I remember that model. That was really cool.
Yeah, my brother had one of those. It was good.
And then top choice was the Gaunt's Ghost 2002 actual limited to 1,000 models with paper reference base of the Black Library. I've still got that somewhere, I think.
Yeah, wasn't it like a diorama, wasn't it? It was a handful of models, wasn't it?
It was a diorama, yes. Yeah. It had two models, Gaunt and
Combe Corbett, was it?
Yeah, that's it, yeah. Matt, heading over to Twitter.
Well, over on Twitter, we've got Pete Allison, our guest from last week, with his third choice, Malice Darkblade, which was a Skulls promotional miniature. Do you remember Skulls, guys?
Yeah.
Number two, Gotrek and Felix with companions. And number one, Marco Colombo. Daz Maul, the store-opening Terminator chaplain. I think that was Paul's favourite model, wasn't it?
Mm. Yeah, the Terminator chaplain, yeah.
Really cool. Number two, the Games Day Troll Slayer. Number one, the Warhammer World exclusive Chaos Dwarf Demon Smith. That's a really nice model as well.
Still available too.
Forge World designer Owen Patton says the Games Day 2007 Orc. Now, this guy was really cool. He had his arms crossed and a little kind of grot on the base with his arms crossed as well. I actually use that model as my my coach for my Blood Bowl team.
I remember, yeah. This model always puts me in mind. It's like the mirror opposite of the Dwarf Lord we talked about earlier on the show. Looking over his axe.
Matt Paint says the Empire Army Box Standard Bearer. Now, they did a lot of exclusive Standard Bearers that I completely forgot about while writing this list.
Yeah,
and they were all really, really nice.
These were like in the £100-odd big army boxes, weren't they?
They were, yeah. Back when a Battle Standard Bearer was really good to have in your army as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think I've got the High Elf one upstairs somewhere, and I've also got the Wood Elf one as well.
The limited
the
edition.
One. I've got the Dwarf one too.
Nice. The limited edition Ogre Tyrant with eye patch. I think he used the same body as the Pirate one, but had a different head and different arms. And Garkor, the Night Haunt. Where was he? A store exclusive model, Dave?
Yes, he was, yeah. I think he was a store anniversary, yeah.
Store anniversary, yeah. And he also adds the White Dwarf subscription Goblin, the Black Gobbo. I think the original one from back in the day. Martin says, the Lady Catechin Badass. Yeah, we haven't seen her yet. I think she's this year's store opening model, and she is amazing as well.
Yeah.
The Terminator Chaplain. Cygnus Maximus says the original metal Thunderhawk gunship. So way back in the mist of time, I think it was 40,000 pence, the model. So £400. And it came in a wooden box, and yeah, it was a metal Thunderhawk gunship. Can you imagine building a metal Thunderhawk gunship without all the pinning in the world?
No. That would give me nightmares.
The Forge World Games Day Slan. I remember that as well. There was an alternate Slan from Forge World.
Was he sort of just like leaning along?
Yeah, just lazing around. He's just chilling. Yeah.
At the Throne of Skulls recently we went to, we were fighting a Lizardman army, if you remember, Matt, and I'm sure one of their Stegodons had this sitting on top of it.
It's Mazda Mundi, yeah.
Mazda Mundi, yeah.
That was cool. And the 30th anniversary Space Marine. Based on the original metal Space Marine from way back in the 80s. Yeah.
The Imperial Space Marine.
Oh, yeah, with the...
Oh, sorry, go on.
Carry on. I know the Space Marine with the Death Laser.
Yeah, the Death Laser. Pippington says the two Mordheim characters, Uli and Markwand, from the comic. I don't remember those two myself. I do remember the guy with the sword that came free with White Dwarf.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Hansa Skypala, veteran Sergeant Centurius. He's the Legion of the Damned fellow, isn't he?
Yeah.
The Games Day 2001 Crute Shaper. That has good memories with me because that was the Games Day where they announced Lord of the Rings as well.
Mm.
And Zandria Azurebolt. Is she the one from the Immortal Realms magazine?
Yes, she is, yeah. I missed out on her, I think.
Okay, so Joe hasn't put any text on this, so I'm going to have to use the art of describing pictures of miniatures here. I think they're all White Dwarfs. So there's one with a sword up in the air. It looks like maybe a limited edition Dwarf Standard Bearer with a really ornate banner. Might have been the Dwarf Battle Standard from their army box.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And then finally, the witch hunter, white dwarf, kind of sticking a stake into a vampire's heart.
Oh, yeah. I've got two of those, you know. And it's another model I've always wanted to build and paint. I'm going to have to do that. It's a cool model, that one is.
And then finally, Yinho Winterbreeze. I love my dwarf models, but these guys take the cake for my favourite limited edition with a special model that doesn't count as a limited edition model, but holds a special place in my heart, Drunken Dwarves. So it's the various limited edition dwarves that you can get from Bugman's. Mm-hmm. And he's also put a picture of the 30th anniversary, was it? You mentioned them last week, Dave. All the dwarves, Gotrek and Bugman and the White Dwarf.
Yeah. I've just had a look. Actually, I think that Joe's banner there, that's an even older dwarf than the one that came in the battle box. That was a different standard bearer. So that's an even more of a classic one there.
Awesome.
So, Matt, that leads us to what is next week's top three?
Wow, next week has got a theme to it because we have got a super duper special guest on the show next week, Dave.
Super duper, Matt.
The Prince of Paints, the Lord of Larmian Medium, the master of two thin coats himself, Mr. Duncan Rhodes, is on this very show.
Oh, that's pretty exciting.
It is pretty exciting. So, yeah, in honor of Duncan, we want to know your top three favorite models you've painted.
Yeah. So at whatever point in your painting life, we want to know your top three models. I've already got mine, I think. So I'm looking forward to sharing them next week.
Yeah, I think some of mine might actually be following Duncan's painting guides as well, actually, thinking about it.
I know. That'd be the same for me as well.
We cannot say goodbye to Paul on this week's podcast without asking you, sir, what is your favorite sprue and what is your favorite brew?
Well, I don't know if I'm supposed to pick a whole kit or a single sprue out of a kit, but for me, it's the same thing, the Sanguinary Guard. They're just basically a treasure trove of bits. You've got just about everything you need to flesh out a whole squad or more of Blood Angels from any of the kits. I'm talking about even up to Primaris and stuff if you really wanted to. And it's great value for the dollar, too. Can't beat it in any way, shape, or form.
Well, funny you should say that, because, Jay, you recently did an article for the website in regards to Sanguinary Guard sprue.
Yeah, I love the Sanguinary Guard, and but I really like Primaris Marines, and I can't quite bring myself anymore to build and paint the old style Tactical Marines. So I decided I need to upscale the Sanguinary Guard a little bit. So I basically kit-bashed some of the Sanguinary Guard bits with some Custodians, and they've turned out pretty cool. It's surprising how well-scaled the arms and heads and things are. So I've used like shoulder pads and weapons and things like that on the Custodian Guard.
If you look at them compared to like a Tac Marine of the day, they were a little bit bigger. Like this, like the scale was just like a I don't know what to do, a micron, a sliver off. I don't know, but it was they're just a little bit larger. And I think that all the bits, like the daggers, the shoulder pads, the helmets and stuff, they just fit right in. It covers every Blood Angel kit you might ever want to build. It's amazing.
You do get a lot in there, don't you? You get like loads of helmeted heads, the death masks, different weapon options. You can like customize all your other squads with it. It's really good.
That's it. And you got to think back. This is not even on modern sprue technology. Like there's still a lot of empty space on these things. Like if we ever get a remake of these, they're going to be just chock full. And but it doesn't even need one. Like they can just one to one these bits.
Fantastic. And what was your favorite brew?
Favorite brew right now is a brew called Georgia Brown by Sweetwater. Sweetwater's local to me. I don't know if other folks out there will be able to get it, but if you're ever in an area where they're serving it, I'd highly suggest picking it up. And my favorite of their brews right now is called Georgia Brown.
Fantastic. Brilliant. Well, it's been absolutely fantastic having you on this week's podcast, Paul. It's great to have a different accent on the podcast, not a sort of Northern English guys. So it's been really fun. Make sure you check out Forge Narrative. I listen to it on Apple Podcasts, but as Paul said earlier, it is available on a multitude of different platforms and over on YouTube. So thanks again, Paul.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And so we come to the end of another week's podcast. Our thanks again to Paul Murphy for joining us on this week's podcast. I will put a link to how you'll be able to find the Forged Narrative podcast in the podcast notes. As Matt's already said, we do have a super special guest next week, so do make sure you join us. And if you would like to take part in the top three, do send your top threes in early via social media. All links are provided at the end of this podcast. So that is it for another week, guys. We'll be back again next week. See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Sprues and Brews podcast. If you like what you've been listening to, please do give us a share and a comment if you're listening via Apple Podcasts. For further content, please check out spruesandbrews.com, and you can contact us on Twitter @spruesandbrews or over on Facebook, facebook.com/spruesandbrews.